Hello, and welcome to the last in this current series of Tammy Ginders.
And as ever with this programme, we find ourselves with many more questions than answers about all the fantastic things around the Isle of Man. Some of the mysteries, some of the amazing people. There is so much to explore.
There always is around the wonderful Isle of Man. And we also ask ourselves, how do we keep doing this programme? It's a wonder.
I guess some people definitely wonder about that. But it started, it was way back, I think 2006 might have been our first series.
Get away, really?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. Because that was the infamous time that we went and found Magnetic Hill.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't feel very well.
Well, you were pregnant at the time.
I was, yeah. Didn't I have to get out? It was not, it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't so magnetic, sort of... Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Right. It is a mystery one way or another. But we have a lot of fun doing these, and hopefully you have a little bit of fun listening to them. And don't forget, there is always the podcast, which seems to be fairly well populated and well listened to as well. So go and check that out via the Manx Radio website. It'll be available straight after the programme. OK, well, we stayed a little bit closer to home for this one, and there is a link to previous programme when we were out at St Trinian's. But this time, we went to another church, much closer, to Douglas. Have a listen to this and see what you think. Not the cars, or the birds, it's us in a minute. Here we go.
Now then, here we are out and about again, and that usual mixture, which is becoming quite a theme on Tammy Ginders when you go out, there's a mixture of wildlife and lots of traffic. I don't know whether that sums up a lot of the Isle of Man, that you can probably hear there's rooks and crows and some smaller birds as well, some blue tits and something else, but no end of traffic in the background because we're at a busy junction and it's a Monday morning, unusually out in the morning, and we're down by Kirk Braddon. You were christened here.
I was, yeah. It's always a very special place for me here. I obviously don't remember the christening being... but a baby, but yeah, it's a lovely, lovely spot. And what's great, and we're seeing this with a lot of the churches around the Isle of Man, is that very often they've got other spaces which can be used for other things. So we can see a mums and tots group setting up here on this Monday morning, which, as you say, very busy. And actually, in a very, very few weeks, we'll be even busier. But we won't talk about TT now, because that's not what we're here to talk about.
No, we're not in this particular instance. We're following up on another, as we suggested, I think, at the beginning of this little series, the wonderful folklore book, Folklore Sites Round the Isle of Man, which is brought out by Culture Van a little earlier this year. If you hadn't seen it, do yourself a favour, go and check it out, because it's just... it's an incredible, beautifully produced, full colour throughout, and just page after page after page of amazing stories and folklore. And I believe there's enough stuff for another volume already. Just fascinating stories about the place that we live. And in this case, places which thousands, literally thousands of people must drive past every day and probably don't give a second look. And that you've got the two churches, Old Kirkbraddon and where we are, New Kirkbraddon here, relatively new. The new church, which is still sort of in use for services, weddings and all the rest of it. And as you say, the mums and tots, and it's very much a hub of the community. But if you look at the tower here, you look at the top, you know, it is a tower, but there's no steeple.
No, there isn't. And I'd obviously not really given this much thought until it had been pointed out in this book. And this actually links back to something we were doing, two, 3 weeks ago now, when we were at St Trinian's. And who knew there was a link?
I know. I didn't. And that's the great joy of this book. You can sort of choose your place where you're out and about, turn up a page, and you'll almost certainly find something interesting and go and have a look at and ponder, which is what this programme is all about, pondering and wondering.
Right, shall I read it out to you then?
Right, go for it.
So this is called The Cursed Tower of Kirkbraddon. Right, we'll have
right,
a good
don't
look
get too
there.
Close. Good job you didn't come at night.
Stones from St Trinian's Chapel in Moran were used in the building of the spire that was once on top of the tower of the new church here at Kirkbraddon. However, it was these stones which caused the tower to be blown down in a storm shortly after its consecration in 1876, and again when it was rebuilt within 10 years. The spire remains absent to this day.
Which it does.
It does. And St Trinian's stones. I mean, honestly, this is where you start thinking, really? You know, you might sort of doubt and think, oh, it's all stories and whatever passed down and doesn't actually mean anything. But I'm going to say this is proof, Howard. Proof.
Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree. I mean, there's definitely no spire there. It's the fact that, again, you look back in the records, you will probably find practical reasons, like money, why they didn't do it. After it had gone down the second time, they probably thought, oh, sod it, we'll just leave it as it is with a flat roof. Probably, as I say, the tens of thousands of people who drive past on a weekly basis don't give it a second thought. But yeah, there it is, the tower, and absolutely no steeple on top. Looking at it today, there's definitely a touch of the... it's not bats, I was going to say the Bram Stokers, but it's clearly very popular with the local rook population, and that, not so much bats coming in and out, but there's no shortage of jackdaws and rooks going into the upper parts of the tower where the slats are, where the to let the sounds out for the bells. And you can see, actually, there's nesting, lots of nests and bits of wood and things sticking out, and as we're standing here talking now, there's several birds looking at us thinking, what the hell are they doing down there? Are they talking about us? Yes, we are.
Look, they're picking up little bits and taking them in to make their nests. That's what's lovely about this time of year, isn't it? When you actually start seeing a little bit more greenery, the flowers starting to come out. I mean, it's not actually much warmer yet, but I'm sure we'll get there. But yeah, look, they're making their little nests.
They are. In fact, the one, as we've been talking, one of them's come down, gone into the gutter to get a bit of moss or some sort of padding, flown back up with it in his beak and gone back to his... Oh, he's coming back down again. Here he goes.
I think we can interview him.
Yeah, look, he's got another one.
Hello.
I think he's picked up another twig. You see him?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And look, if you look at the base of the tower, look at all the stuff that's fallen out of their nests from up here.
Yeah, there's another one there that's just gone into that gutter. Look, you see he's got twigs in his mouth. Wow. Little do they know that that tower that they were in... I mean, the cursed tower doesn't sound very nice. Can we call it something else?
Go on then.
Magic?
Yeah,
mystical.
Magic, mystical, call it what you will. It's Gracking Church. It's a lovely spot you go past every day. And will it ever see a spire? One assumes not. No one's put one up for the last 100 years or so. And you guess now that everyone's happy the way it is. And as I say, money, etc., etc., building regulations, blah, 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 probably never happen now. But if you're driving past, don't take your eyes off the road, but perhaps park up or walk past or have a little break and go and take a look at it. Have a look at the rooks as well at the moment.
Do you know what else you can do while you're here?
Go on.
As you mentioned, the old Kirkbraddon Church. We should go and have a look in there, maybe.
Ah, there's something else there as well, I think.
Shall we go?
Right, across the road. You go first. It's very busy. Don't get knocked down. He's got very heavy shoes on today. Right, here we are then, a little bit further up. So we're on the other side of the road now, with Old Kirkbraddon. And this is, really does have a feeling, despite the traffic you can still hear, really has a feel of age and, I don't know, sort of a timeless quality to the whole thing. Lots and lots as we come down of wild garlic everywhere at the moment. Stinking Rogers, as we used to call them, all just coming into flower. And swathing all the floor and covering all around the base of the numerous headstones down here. Can't smell it at the moment, you normally can. But we're just coming down into the middle of the graveyard for, well, another... I don't think there's anything we can specifically see on this one. However, there is another fascinating little story. I dare say there's lots of fascinating little stories associated with Old Kirkbraddon. But I didn't know this one about giants.
No. So let me read this to you then. So giants used to inhabit the Isle of Man before the arrival of humans. At the start of the 18th century, the writer George Waldron was doubtful of this, but was convinced otherwise when he was present at the digging of a new vault here at Kirkbraddon Graveyard. But was convinced otherwise when he was present at the digging of a new vault here at Kirkbraddon Graveyard, as they uncovered an enormous leg bone. Measuring around 120 centimetres in length, it appeared to be a giant's shin bone. Waldron's amazement at the site was apparently unmatched by those doing the digging, as they reported that bones similar to that were regularly found here. Wow. Right, something else here as well about the skull charm on the bier. Have you read that one?
No. No, go on.
That's also connected to Kirkbraddon. A man named William Kiswick was a landlord of a pub on Douglas North Quay, and his wife sent their servant to get a skull from Kirkbraddon. Okay.
Hello.
The servant managed this by taking a skull from a newly opened grave and carrying it home in a basket, for which she received a new frock and apron as payment. Mrs. Kizik then put the skull near the beer casks in the belief it would bring a larger demand for their drinks. However, the skull was discovered by a soldier and taken back to his barracks, to which the relatives of the deceased were invited to collect the skull. Gosh, it's a... Ooh, not a...
Bit of a spooky one?
Yeah, it is a little bit. So, giant shin bone. Giants inhabiting the Isle of Man. Well, you know, how was the Isle of Man made, according to some folklore?
Well, that was that Finn McCool chucking the thing. The only giant I can think of, which we have chatted about on Tammy Ginder's before now, was Arthur Cayley. Yeah. And we've covered that story quite well.
But he wasn't buried over here, was he?
He wasn't, no. And nor was he sort of that long ago. I mean, he was fairly recent. Really only the last 100 years, but this is going back further. But yeah, take your pick. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those curious ones where there's all sorts of folklore, which is part of the point of this book, I guess. But when you read some of these things where folklore and reality cross over, seemingly, maybe you do start to ponder a little bit.
Do you know the real poignant thing in here? You've got some little headstones which have just got, what's that say, Charlotte, 1832, written on it. And you think, who are these people? And I don't know whether it's because, obviously, sadly, this year, my dad died earlier this year, so I've probably spent more time around graveyards than I would do normally. And you just sit there and think, who were all these people? Do you know what I mean? Every single one of these headstones belongs to a person who had a story, who lived their life here on the Isle of Man like we do. And you just think, it's incredible, isn't it?
It is. It is, and I was just looking at that next one. That doesn't actually... does not say cholera.
Oh, cholera.
It's cholera, linking into last week.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes, because John was saying that there were, 80 or 90 cholera victims who were buried here. Gosh.
So, yeah, this is... Whether they're underneath the actual building itself, I don't know. There's just these two very small, only, I don't know, a foot tall... headstones, and that's all they say. If you look more carefully, it just says cholera 1832 and one, and is it 1832 on that one as well?
Yeah. So it's 1832-33, wasn't it?
That's it.
Which shows how good my reading is. Well done, Howard.
And they're right down by the church. I mean, they're not in the middle of the graveyard. There's no sort of bed in front of them. They are literally right parallel to the side of the church. So I don't know. We were hearing from John last week about the cholera victims just being wrapped in tarpaulins, I suppose, just sort of literally tar cloth, no fancy coffins or anything like that, and sort of, you know, dumped off early doors. But yeah, well, there you go, another link as well, and fascinating little place again, well worth a little walk around here. And the other grave I know we have done several years ago on Tammy Ginder's, I think, was the slave's grave, wasn't it?
Slave's grave, yeah, I think that's up nearer the top.
It is as well. May as well have a quick look while we're here and just see if we can see it. Let's have a paddle up. I'm sure there's so many stories here dotted around, but while we're here, we'll paddle up and take a look and see what we can see.
There are some fantastic stories, and it's just a lovely, lovely place to wander around. It's such a long time since I've actually just gone there and had a little paddle around the graveyard, looking at the church, looking at the gravestones themselves, just lots of some, you know, wildflowers and lots of wild garlic at this time of the year all over the place. Lovely spot.
It really is. And the photographs that you see of it years and years ago when they used to have the outside church services, and the number of people there is quite something to behold. But yeah, a lovely spot. Even if you just wanted to go and sit in a place of tranquility, we could well recommend it. But yeah, all the history that's in there is just amazing.
Well, yeah, we were thinking about as we were paddling round, because there are other famous graves there. So we did actually, I think we've got a little bit more there, and we'll come to in a moment. We did have a little poke about further up at the top end of the graveyard with another famous
grave revisiting there. That one, like we just said, that we did a few years ago. Right, we've got to the sort of the trick bit.
Oh, gosh.
You challenged me to come up with something.
Well, I thought it'd be nice. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, we often hear from Mystic Beth, but we don't often hear from Magic Beth.
Right, okay. I'm just going to, you can hear this clunking.
Standing up, Magic. It's a balancing
I'm moving over.
Ooh, this is good.
Moving over here. Right, so this is...
This is very impressive.
No, it's not really. Hang on.
microphone-wise caught. So this is going to... You need to bring your microphone probably a little bit close
all
this
right,
way.
Just stand up. Stand by for any noises here. Here we go. I'll just bring it around this way.
Right. This is going to rely on a little bit of your...
Excuse me. That's better. There we are.
...description. Right, put your pen down. Hands together. So this is... Right, now just push against my hand. So basically, Howard has got his hands in a sort of a prayer-like position.
I would video it, but sadly,
we've got no hands. So, and I'm just putting my hands over the top of his, and he's just pushing his hands as if he's trying to, sort of break free. And we just have to sort of keep doing this for a minute, and Howard can beautifully describe. We can hear those panting noises there.
I'm working on
yep,
it, honestly.
Okay. Are you working as hard as you possibly could? I'm pulling your hands apart, and I'm just pushing my hands
in. And I'm not really going anywhere.
Yep. So we're just going to keep doing this for a little bit. You're going to be able to wow your friends with this one, honestly. There will be no end to the recommendations of people to you to
I'll
go
be able to.
To
say to them, you know that Beth Espy, she's stronger than me.
Do you think I am? Do you think?
Well, I'm not going anywhere, am I?
No. Okay. Right. Now I'm going to release now and see what happens. Right. Put your hands together. Oh. Did you feel something?
There is actually some resistance, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, I do actually get that.
Okay.
I do, yeah.
So it wasn't brilliant for radio, I'm going to be honest, but
Stay here.
Oh, have you got one?
Yeah. I thought you were going to do the same one as me there for a moment.
Right.
So no, I did actually feel that, yeah. I think it's, you sort of come back and there's like a sort of resistance. It must be some sort of muscly type thing.
Yeah, it must be.
Going
it's magic.
It is magic. Well, I've got a similar one, so we'll see with this one.
All right.
So, right, so it's another handy one.
Okay.
Hands together.
Yep.
Cross all those down.
Okay.
Cross your thumbs.
Right.
Keep your palms together so everything else is really tightly together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because the hands together. And then bring the tips so we've got our two index fingers extended. And then just don't move anything else, but just bring the fingers apart. And then see if you can, and just keep them apart. I've got to close them. And then that's it. I'm going to make them close. They're going to close. They're going to close. They're going to close. They're going to close.
So you're trying to get my fingers to close. It's not. Is it working, Howard? Is it working? Okay, so Howard's trying to get my two forefingers to close. Everything else is sort of crossed over.
You got that crossed?
Yep.
Okay. You see, I told you it wouldn't work. And they're moving a little bit.
Right.
Pretty good.
Okay. Shall we go back to the grave story and then we can have another go at this and see if
you just
can...
stand there then. Just keep them there. Yeah, they've got a bit closer, but they haven't actually closed it. You see, well, it's another muscle one, but obviously your muscles are back to front.
Or just stronger.
Oh, there's always something, isn't there? Right. We did say there was a little bit more from Braddon. So we did go up to the sort of upper end, I think it was, of the graveyard. You can hear the birds better now. Just come up to the top end of Old Kirk Braddon Graveyard. And it is actually, while we're here, clearly marked these days. So you can't sort of miss it to a large degree with a modern sign. This is the Samuel Alley, the slave's grave, as it's known, right at the top end against the sort of retaining wall, or the rear boundary wall, I think, of the actual graveyard before it goes into the estate next door. And difficult to actually read the inscription, so I assume that's a transcription on the little plate.
Yeah, it is. It says, an African slave of St. Helena died 28th of May, 1822, aged 18 years. Born to a slave and exposed in early life to the corrupt influence of that unhappy state, he became a model of truth and probity for the more fortunate of any country or condition. This stone, erected by a grateful master to the memory of a faithful servant who repaid the boon of liberty with unbounded attachment.
Whoa. There you go, yeah. Wow. Memories of a, times, happily, that times passed by and large, and just as well in those cases, I think, but it does make you think. And you can't miss that one. It's just when you go inside and it's nicely beautiful, nice and new modern plate put on so you can read the inscription rather than trying to wake it out on the headstone where it's a little bit faded these days after all the years. It does make you think. There's also, where's the other one? There's the Napoleon's manservant. That's the other one here somewhere, isn't there? Yeah. But I can never remember his name off the top of my head. I get them mixed up. Yeah. Could be walking on someone's grave, quite literally.
So what's the Napoleon connection actually with the Samuel Alley grave, maybe?
Yeah, you see, I always get them... I always get them muddled up together. It's one and the same. So it's the story of the Samuel Alley story of a man born into slavery but rescued by Magsman, who brought him over to the Isle of Man. So Samuel Alley, as we heard, was born into slavery, granted freedom by his master, Kirkmichaelbourne, Colonel Mark Wilkes, who was the governor of St Helena at the time of Napoleon's exile there. And then Colonel Wilkes later returned to the Isle of Man, bringing Samuel Alley with him. And Samuel died, as we heard, at the age of 18, buried here in Old Kirkbraddon in 1822, and the headstone paid for by his employer, Colonel Wilkes. So that's the Napoleon link.
Incredibly forward-thinking person, wasn't he, for his time, Colonel Mark Wilkes there. But yeah, so much history here. If you have a spare hour or so, we could heartily recommend you just come here. You don't have to even look around the graves, just maybe find a spot to sit. It is just beautiful, and even though you can still hear the hubbub in the background, there is a little bit of tranquility just here.
Definitely. And you know, come a little bit later in the day when it's a bit quieter, not so much traffic going on. Monday morning always busy, but there is definitely tranquility in any of the graveyards, I think, where you can just sit and ponder for a moment. Come here, think about the giant's bone, think about Samuel Alley, think about the cholera victims or anything else. Great place to come and wonder, which is what Tammy Ginders is all about, as we say.
Almost like you scripted that, H.
It was, wasn't it? Magic, that. Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Lovely place, as we said, and just, you know, it is. I drive past it every day, and I was thinking when we were doing that on Monday, I can't remember the last time I actually went into the actual graveyard.
No.
Or into the church.
I think there's
there.
Much more we can do with that, because remember we went down to the vampire's grave. Do you remember that one many years ago? Maybe that'd be one to revisit at some point.
We did. There are so many wonderful churches around the Isle of Man, some rural, some in towns. I mean, like St George's, bang slap in the middle of Douglas, and yet it's a beautiful little sanctuary.
It really is.
And it's often the case with graveyards around the world, really. I love Old Brompton Cemetery. If I'm in London, I often go there, and it's a wildlife sanctuary. It's got fascinating graves. It's a beautiful place just to sit for half an hour and have a cup of tea, or you know, just sit there and sort of, you know, meditate or ponder. Wonderful.
Speaking of a place to meditate and ponder, the archive room in Manx Radio, always a favourite of ours. I went in there a few minutes ago and I picked up a cassette tape. We don't know what's on it, so you're going to push the button.
It's a TDKD. It's a C60. Right.
Right. Push the button. Push the button. Here we go.
Ooh. Come fly with me, we'll fly away.
Well, how could I refuse that invitation? It came from those magnificent men in their flying machines, the Rothmans Aerobatic Team, who will, if the fogs lift, be entertaining the TT crowds with rolls, spins, dives, formation stall turns, double mirrors, and spirals. These are all part of a breathtaking display undertaken by the Open Cockpit Pit spy plane. There are four of them, headed by team leader Marcus Edwards. And this year is their 10th anniversary, as Marcus explains.
10th anniversary was in Biggin Hill about 2 weeks ago, in fact. That was the 10th anniversary of the first Rothmans team display. They started with Stomp aircraft, which are much larger aircraft than these and much less maneuverability.
I see it's actually marked on the outside.
And these were changed for the present aircraft about 3 years later. So we've done 7 years on these sort of aircraft.
Don't think about it.
So what are the aircraft now?
They're called Pitts S2As. It's an American design built aircraft, designed specifically for aerobatics, in fact.
And they've got two wings. I mean, that's,
I think it's some sort of review program.
Right? What about the engine, and what are they made of? What's the structure, the fabric of the plane?
Right, the engine itself is a 200 horsepower flat four Avco Lycoming engine with fuel injection, which means it can run indefinitely inverted, or upright, obviously. And also it has an inverted oil system, same sort of reason, so we could literally...
Yeah, I think it's a sort of a review of the week. We sort of do similar things now. But just on the inside in pencil, it features Geraldine James and also Mike Percival.
Wow.
I tell you, below, voices from the past, blasts from the past. It's like us, I think. Hopefully we'll be blasting into the future and see you on the next series.
Take care, bye-bye.
Cheerio.